So in the rabbis call this time the Ben HaMitzarim, in between the two tragedies. What two tragedies? We have the tragedy of the 17th day of Tammuz. That's the beginning of the 3-week period. It's not technically 3 weeks, it's 22 days, so it's not really called 3 weeks, but we colloquial call it the 3 weeks. So the 3-week period is beginning at Yud Zayin Tammuz, and it culminates this Sunday on Tisha B'Av. But really this year it's really the 10th of Av. It's the 10th day, because Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, but we're not going to fast on Shabbos. We're going to observe Tisha B'Av on the 10th day. So we have different levels. So as Rav Soloveitchik explains, we have the 3-week period, and then we moved into the 9-day period, and then generally the week of Tisha B'Av, and then Tisha B'Av itself. So he explains, what do we have? What are these three categories? The 3 weeks, the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av. It's the three categories of mourning, that when someone loses a loved one, a mommy, a daddy, brother, a sister, son, daughter, whatever it may be, someone close. So in Jewish law, we have you become a mourner and you have to mourn over the person. So first you have the Shiva, as it's known, the 7-day period. Then you have the 30-day period, and then you have the 12-month period. So he says the time period we're in now is the same type of thing. We have the 3 weeks, that equals the 12-month period. The 9 days equals the 30-day period of mourning, and Tisha B'Av is like the Shiva. The only difference is it's in an opposite order. In regular, when you lose a loved one, mommy, daddy, or someone else, so first you start off Shiva. That's the most severe. Then we line up a drop, 30 days. And then for a mother and father, we continue for 12 months. But here it's the opposite. We start off lightly, the 3 weeks, about not having weddings during this time, going to concerts, haircuts. We have, and then we move into the 9 days. We minimize our joy. And then we end up on Tisha B'Av. So why is it when it comes to regular mourning, we go from hard to easy, meaning from more severe to less severe? Yet when it comes to the 3 weeks, we start off lightly, we go from less severe to more severe. Why do we have it the opposite? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, because when you lose, it's what he calls Avelus Chadasha, Avelus Yeshana. There's new mourning and there's old mourning. What does new mourning mean? What does old mourning mean? New mourning means it just happened. I just lost my loved one. No one has to tell me how to mourn. I feel it right here. I just lost a mother, father, whatever it is. It hits you right away, like a ton of bricks, as they say. And then hopefully time heals. As time goes on, after 7 days, whether you like it or not, it's the new normal, and you have to go get up out of the house and go back to work and try to recreate now. It'll never be the same, because you'll never have your mother or father back, but you got to make the best of it. And we go to a new normal, and then for a parent, we only have one mommy and daddy, so therefore we have the 12-month period. So that's why it goes from severe to less severe, from intense to less intense. However, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, which is what we call Avelus Yeshana, it's the old mourning. We're not mourning about something that happened today, yesterday, last week. We're mourning over something that happened thousands of years ago, the destruction of the temple, both temples, the temple, the first temple and the second one. We're mourning on Tisha B'Av. It's one of the 5 things that happened on Tisha B'Av. The first thing that happened was the Jews, when they were traveling in the desert, in the Midbar, they found out they weren't going to enter the land of Israel because of the sin with the spies. They gave an evil report about the land of Israel. Then we have the first temple destroyed and the second temple destroyed. And then Beitar, a city filled with over 10,000 Jews, was captured and destroyed by the Romans during the Bar Kokhba rebellion. And then we have Turnus Rufus plowed the area of the temple. So we have many things, but two of the main things that happened on Tisha B'Av is the destruction of the temple itself. So that happened thousands of years ago. So it's hard. I can't just wake up one morning and start crying over the lost temple. I don't even know what the temple... We can't appreciate the temple. We never had it. It's like people who lived 100 years ago, they don't miss the iPad. They don't miss Netflix. It didn't exist. They don't miss HDTV or, you know, they don't miss computers. Something you never had, you don't miss. It didn't exist. Things you once had, that the people who lived, for me, I was born, you know, in 1948, we got the State of Israel. I was born years after that. So to me, I don't know what it's like not to have the State of Israel. Someone who was born pre-48, and then they lived, and then they got Israel back, they appreciate, you know, it's a whole different appreciation. Or someone who lived through the Holocaust and survived, they know what destruction means. So it's very hard to feel something that we never experienced, and it's hard to relate to. So therefore, I can't just wake up in the morning, so we begin 3 weeks. We begin preparing in advance, and then we move on to the 9 days, and then we move on to Tisha B'Av. And then hopefully by Tisha B'Av time, the time we get there, we're able to feel some pain and perhaps shed tears. That's why there's a difference between public mourning and private mourning. Private mourning is for our loved ones. That we know what to do, or we may not know what to do, but we feel the mourning. When it comes to public mourning, it's hard to feel. We don't know exactly an event that happened a long time ago. That's why there's no rule. When you lose a loved one, whatever over-crying is, you shouldn't overdo it, because it looks like you're questioning God's judgment. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, there's no limit. You could cry all you want, because why? We're supposed to feel. It's not normal. How could I live without a temple? So therefore, something which isn't Darchei Olam, the norm, so therefore we have to cry over it. So if both temples were destroyed on Tisha B'Av, why were they destroyed? So there are different commentaries. So number one is, they point out, we have three different reasons given why the first temple was destroyed. So they say, number one was, the Gemara in Yuma says the big three. The Jewish people violated the three cardinal sins. They worshipped idols. They didn't worship God properly. They didn't treat people properly. They were involved in murder. And three, they were involved in illicit relations with people they shouldn't have relations with. So that was one. There's another Gemara that says it's because they didn't, before they studied Torah, they didn't make the Birkas HaTorah. They didn't make the bracha. And thirdly, the Gemara says, in Shabbos, because there was no social justice, that there was corruption. We don't have to look around. People were on the take. They were on bribes, taking. So there's three different reasons given for the destruction. So which one is it? Is it door number one, door number two, or door number three? And as you guessed it, it's all three. We're talking about three different types of things. When we're asking why was the temple destroyed, so that's on the big three, the three cardinal sins, not to worship idols, not to murder, and not to murder. So that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why was Jerusalem destroyed? That's because we know Jerusalem is called an Eretz Tzedek. It's a just It's a just town, like the Avos are called Sefer HaYasha, Yesharim. So when there was corruption going on among the judges and others, so then Jerusalem can't stay up. And why do we lose the land of Ama'av the Ha'aretz? Because we didn't study Torah properly. So really, it's each one corresponds to the three different things. Or others say, really, that they didn't learn Torah properly was the main one. All the other ones were symptoms. Because if you're not connecting to God, because what is, when we pray, we talk to God. And when we study Torah, God talks to us. So if we're not communicating with God properly, so that's the beginning of the end. So that's at some point out. So, and as well, the commentators point out as follows, that which one was worse, the Gemara asked, was the sins for the destruction of the first temple worse, or was it the sins for the destruction of the second temple worse? So the Gemara says, the Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud says, well, we're a result-oriented society. Let's look at the results. The results are that the first temple was destroyed. How long did it take to start rebuilding the second temple? 70 years. 70 years later, they started rebuilding the temple. It only took 70 years. And what about the second temple? How long did that take for us to rebuild it? We're still waiting. The second temple is destroyed, and we're waiting for the Messiah to come, the Mashiach to come to build the third temple. So the Talmud says, well, let's figure it out. If it only took 70 years to rebuild the first temple and build the second one, and we're still waiting on building the third temple, must mean the sin of the second temple must have been worse than the sin of the first temple. And what was the sin of the second temple? That was unwarranted hatred. People weren't getting along with one another. God could tolerate many things, you know, zero tolerance. But when it comes to mistreating people, you know, if you don't keep my commandments, okay, I'll have patience. You know, you had a bad day, I'm sure you'll come around. So God's very tolerant when it comes to his commandments, but when it comes to treating people properly or improperly, he has very little tolerance, and therefore we're still waiting. So therefore they point out that the second temple was much worse because people weren't treating each other properly, and it's not going to get rebuilt until people start treating people properly. So I guess it still hasn't happened yet because we don't have a third temple yet. That's one approach. The other approach is that really, of course, the first temple, the big three, was destroyed for those three sins, and really we deserve not to be rebuilt at all, the temple. However, God saw that we're not going to make it. He promised the Bible, the Torah, would never be forgotten. So therefore, he had to build, the second temple was only going to be temporary. They all knew that. So really, when they lost, there are two ways of serving God, through commandments between man and God, and then there are commandments between people. So the first temple, they just lost the roof. The roof was the connection between man and God, but they still had man and man, woman and woman, they still had interpersonal. When they lost the interpersonal relationship, then God couldn't even keep the second temple going anymore, and he destroyed the second temple. So therefore, in that sense, the unwarranted hatred is it's more fundamental to keeping the temple going. So therefore, in order to get the temple back, we have to be careful on both sides of the commandments. The first five commandments are commandments between man and God, and the second five are commandments between man and man. So we have to, we have to be meticulous in both kinds. So that's the time period we're in now. We had the 3 weeks. We're in the period of the 9 days, and we're approaching So we're approaching Tisha B'Av. It's coming this coming. Well, technically, it's coming this. It's this coming Saturday, but because when it falls on Saturday, we don't fast on Saturday, so we push off the fast to Sunday. So therefore, That's why we stop having. That's why we didn't have the meat barbecues this week. We'll go back to them next week, and that's why Bubby Bessie's didn't have meat Wednesday and Thursday because of the 9 days. Because it says when the month of approaches, which we're in now, we have to minimize our joy. So we know two of the things that give us a lot of joy is meat and wine. So therefore, we have to minimize our joy, so we have to cut back a little, and then starting Monday, so then the 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av is over, and then we go from the 3 week period of mourning to the 7 week period of comfort. It's seven after this week, we have 7 weeks until the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, till the new year begins. So we have 3 weeks of mourning of Prinios, and then we have the next 7 weeks to look forward to Rosh Hashanah. That's not happening to the end of September this year, September 30th. But those are some of the things about the destruction of the temple, and that's the 3 week period, the 9 day period, and then we have Tisha B'Av, which, as we said, the saddest day in the Jewish calendar. We had the 5 things that happened where the Jews were destined not to enter the land of Israel because they sinned. They gave an evil report about Israel. Both temples were destroyed. The city of Beitar, 10,000 Jews and more were killed. And Turnus Rufus, he took the place of the temple and he plowed the area, made it from a building, from a bayit into a sada. So those are some of the things we're mourning. And of course, is we have the Tisha B'Av is a day of universal mourning. So we're not only mourning over these things, but all the recent things as well. And that, i.e., the Holocaust, even though we have a Yom HaShoah as a special day, but everyone agrees that Tisha B'Av is the main day for mourning, and therefore we're going to say special lamentations about what happened in the Holocaust, Spanish Inquisition, all the terrible pogroms and tragedies that happened during this time period. So that's what we're coming to. We're coming close to the end of the period because we're a couple of days away from Tisha B'Av or Thursday. And therefore, what's interesting to note is that there was a discussion among the rabbis which day should we observe the loss of the temple. So we go by the 9th day, but the Rav Yochanan said we should do the 10th day, which we are doing this year because it's pushed off. Why? Because the majority of the temple was destroyed on the 10th day. So in that case, so why don't we always do the 10th day? So we say because the beginning is always the worst. When the building started going on fire, that's when you start feeling, even though practically speaking, the temple actually burned more on that next day, but it's when it went up in flames. When your house goes on flames, that's the hard part. By the time it's all burnt down, you already internalized already what was happening. Hopefully, you got the people out and anything else that went out. So too over here. By the time the 10th day of Av, it was actually a comfort because we didn't know if God was going to destroy us or not. So when we saw the buildings, which are just sticks and stones and bricks, so therefore it was a sigh of relief that the Jewish people were saved, and he just destroyed the temple as well. So those are some of the things we'll be observing during the 9 days, as well as Tisha B'Av. Any questions, comments? Alternative speeches.